So Andre's preaching at Shafar Vintik this morning, so that's why I'm sharing the message with you. But we had a great week, eh? I've been getting 7-second kisses. I don't know how many. I've heard that there's other married women. I hope it's not happening among the singles. But I've heard about other married women. You're getting 7-second kisses as well. For those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, you did not come on Wednesday. Or the husbands are not doing their homework. I don't know, either one of those. But there's lots of time still for homework to be done if you're married. So not to despair. But we had a great week. I wish I could have been a fly in the men's corner, you know, when they did all their stuff. They were laughing out loud all the time. So all the girls are either worried or curious about what's been said. But we had an awesome week, and we're ending off this morning. I'm going to talk on unmet expectations. I think it's very real for all of us. All of us have been in a situation where we expected something and we were disappointed in the process. So I want to ask one question before I start. See how many honest people we have in the house this morning. How many of you have ever forgotten a good friend's birthday? Oh, okay, great. Thanks for your honesty, I appreciate that. Okay, how many of you have ever been at the other end? Your birthday has been forgotten by a good friend. Oh, okay, oh my word. I thought it's going to be like 5 or 6. No, it's half of you. You see, we always judge other people by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our own good intentions. Hey, we all know that. So when we forget somebody's birthday, it's like, obviously we have an excuse. We had a hectic day at the office. We were planning to phone, but then we forgot. You know, we honestly have a good excuse. When our friend forgets our birthday, we wrestle with all these kind of emotions. I thought I'm important to him. I thought I mattered to him. I'm obviously not that important to him. You know, you go through all these kind of ups and down emotions, especially if it's a good friend, and you start doubting. You had this expectation that at least your good friend or your best friend, in your opinion, will phone you or at least send you a message, and it didn't happen. And there's just so many, many examples of us having an expectation and it doesn't get met. And now we need to deal with disappointment, anger, even a feeling of hurt. I mean, the worst could be that your husband or your wife forgets your birthday, you know. So long ago, long, long ago, I've decided I'm not gonna allow that kind of trauma to happen to me. So I remind my husband. And then closer to my birthday, I remind him, you remember, my birthday is coming up. So I make sure he puts it in his diary because I'm not going to do it to him, you know. I'm not going to try and catch him out. Girls, we're not supposed to try and catch them out. For those of you trying to do that, don't. So I'm not trying to catch him out, and I'm not going to put myself or him through that kind of trauma where he forgets my birthday. So I remind, and then up to like a week before the time I stop. Then I tell myself, if he forgets now, then, well, I rest my case. But he never does. He never does, though. But I think the worst is if somebody really close to you disappoints you. And, you know, the devil will do anything to get to our hearts. It's like Andre said last week, the issue is not really the issue. The issue is, what is the condition of your heart? So if the condition of your heart is good and soft-hearted towards somebody, it's much easier to deal with any situation or problem or crisis or disappointment. When our hearts become hard and critical and judgmental, it's so much more difficult because the issues will come and the disappointments will come. But the condition of our hearts depends on how much we allow God to come and change us. So the devil will do anything to get to our hearts. And to get to our hearts, he must get one thing right. What is that one thing? He must get one thing right. To get to our hearts, he must get us offended. Now, many of you might think, oh, Sonika, I'm not there. I'm just hurt. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I'm not offended. You know, we want to kind of avoid that word because offense feel like something serious and we're not there. You know, it just hurts. But I want to read you a definition of offense, and I'm not primarily going to focus on that this morning. I hope that whatever I will share will keep us from getting to that place of offense, that we'll long and way before we get to that place of offense, that we'll be able to deal with an unmet expectation. But I want to read you, the definition of an offense. But before I get there, I want to read you one scripture, Proverbs 4:23. We all know that in the Amplified. It says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life." Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life. You know what? We take care of so many things. So many of our possessions we lock in a safe, or we keep it safe. We make sure that nothing and nobody will get to it because it's so precious to us. But when it comes to our heart, we don't always keep and guard our heart with all vigilance. We just allow life to happen. We allow thoughts and things to come into our hearts, and it grows there. It becomes this bush or jungle inside of our hearts, and there come spiders and allerhande goggas, everything, you know, that shouldn't be there, and they live there in our hearts. And all because we do not keep and guard our hearts with all vigilance. So what does it mean to keep and guard your heart? For me, just practically, whenever my heart gets hurt, whenever there's something that disappoints me or that hurts me, I go and get medication quickly from God. Sometimes we just leave it. We think, oh, it's not that serious. It's not that serious. Yeah, you get antibiotics. Where's all the doctors? I know some of them just give antibiotics and some are against it. I don't know how it works, but you know, some think it's a good idea, some don't think it's a good idea. But in any case, if you need an antibiotic for your heart or a vitamin or whatever, maybe just a few extra glasses of water per day for your heart, just go and get from God whatever you need. We have to keep our heart in a good, healthy condition. All right? This is what keep and guard your heart with all vigilance means. We have to protect our heart. We have to take care of our hearts. So what is an offense? It will be on the screen so you can follow with me. An offense usually occurs when you see, hear, or experience a behavior that is so different from what you expected that it causes you to falter, totter, and wobble in your soul. It's something that's so different from what you expected. In fact, you are so stunned by what you have just observed or by a failed expectation that you lose your footing emotionally. And before you know it, you are dumbfounded and flabbergasted about something. Then your shock turns into disbelief. Your disbelief turns into disappointment. Your disappointment turns into an offense. So the root and the foundation of an offense starts with an expectation that was unmet. And the problem is, the person who's got the most power to get you offended is somebody closest to you. Why? Because our expectation is higher upon them. I mean, if somebody now in New Zealand, there's some other newspaper article about somebody in New Zealand who got divorced. I mean, I don't even know the man or the woman. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't really touch my heart because I don't know them. That's one thing, because I don't have any expectation of them. I don't even know them. But if somebody close to you, that you have a high regard for, you really look up to them, if they get divorced, your world may fall apart. Because you might, it could affect you so much because you had such an high expectation of that couple. It's just one example. And that is why people who are the closest to each other could end up hating each other the most. You know, typically where people go through a divorce, it's not always like that. But often it can get really, really, really ugly. You know, two people who really loved each other in the beginning can end up hating each other because there was such a high expectation, and so the disappointment and the offense is so much bigger. It's so much bigger. I'm not going to speak, as I say, primarily about offense. We have life groups that we're going to deal with this in depth with the Bait of Satan life group. Our group is full, sorry. But Rion and Lee's doing the same one. There's still space. And if there's another need or more need for people to do that specific one, we just create another group. Okay, so this is a powerful, powerful concept that is taught in that specific curriculum. So I want to encourage you, if you feel in any way that you need to deal more in depth with this after this morning, that one is a great one to try. So let's just talk about expectations. Let's think about a few expectations we have of a friend, just a normal friendship, okay? Maybe you expect your friend at least to remember your birthday. I don't know. Maybe you expect of a friend to help you move house, if you must move house. Maybe you expect of your friend to bring you food when you're sick. I always like it when I'm sick and people bring me food. No, it doesn't happen often because I don't always know that I'm sick, but I just love it. Cooking, if I don't have to cook, then I just feel better immediately. Maybe you expect of a friend to spend quality time with you alone. Not always a bunch of people, just you and that person. Maybe you expect him or her to attend your 21st birthday party, for those of you still coming up. Or your wedding, even if they have to fly across the universe, because that's what a friend does. Okay, that's maybe your expectation. Maybe you expect him or her to approve your boyfriend or girlfriend. Okay, we're talking about just a normal friendship. When you are in a dating relationship, let's look at a few expectations. Maybe you expect your girl to cook for you. I hope not, but maybe you do. Maybe you expect her to do your laundry. You know, when I was at university, oh no, 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 when Andre and I was, when we were dating, I decided, you know, I draw a line. I'm not doing your laundry. I'm not cooking for you. Yes, we did prepare meals together from time to time. I'm not cleaning your flat or your room. I'm not. Let me tell you, there are people who do that. I don't know if it's the guy's expectation or the girl's own expectation that she puts on herself. I'll give you a few other examples now. But I just decided, if I get married to you, it will all change, obviously. But no, not yet. So I just, whatever. I had to sort out my own laundry. I had to sort out my own everything. So, yeah, maybe you do expect that. I don't know. Maybe you expect your boyfriend to understand you. I hope you at least attempt to understand each other. Maybe you expect her to watch these action movies with you, you know, Thor, Iron Man, Superman, Spider-Man, this is all my husband's favorites. I watched all of those, The Avengers, Captain America, that's not a good guy, you know. I liked him. We can change the world with men like Captain America. How many of you have seen that one? Okay. You know, all the other ones, I don't know. I don't know. Let me not insult my husband's favorite movies, but the Captain America one was good. Maybe you want your boyfriend to watch romantic comedies with you. I don't know. Movies are always a problem, you know, in our relationship because, yeah, okay, let's leave it there. But I've seen all these action movies, okay, because this is Andre's thing every now and again. But he doesn't watch movies often, so he saves his movie airtime that he allows himself for specific things. And then I can't now come with my soppy movie because he wants to do his one. In any case, maybe you want your girl to bungee jump with you. Oh, I said to Andre, you know, if you want me to bungee jump with you, or if you want somebody to bungee jump with you, don't look at me. Please get somebody else. Or you know, any of these kind of adventure things. I don't know. Maybe you expect your girl. I mean, she's your girl. We're going to do this together. I don't know. Maybe you expect your boyfriend or your girlfriend to like your friends. Your friends. Or maybe you expect him to go with you to a musical at the Guild or a ballet. Guys, do that for her if she wants you to do it. My husband is great with this. It's not his, obviously, not his, like, his passion. But he always comes with me. It's so special. I really appreciate that. We must make an effort, but the moment there's an expectation, it could become a problem. Okay, let's look at the married people. I know there's lots of expectations when you're married. Maybe if you're the husband, let's look at the husband first. Maybe you expect your wife to have dinner ready. When you walk through the door, you must smell the meat. All the nice flavors. At a certain time, it must be ready. You had a hard day at the office. It must be ready. Maybe you expect her to clean the house and wash the dishes and iron your clothes and all those kind of things. Maybe you expect her to always dress perfectly and have the perfect weight. I hope not. But maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe you expect her to be the perfect mother. Maybe you expect her to always be ready and available and sexy and in the mood, you know, for what I'm talking about. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Okay, let's look at the wife. Maybe you expect your husband to cut the grass. Oh, we had so many fights about cutting the grass when we were newly married, you know, when I started getting embarrassed because what are the neighbors going to think of our jungle outside? And then after a while, I just realized my husband's got way more important things to focus on than cutting the grass. So now we believe in employment. We pay people. We blessed, they blessed. It's easy as that. No more fights, no more conflict, you know. Let me tell you, your husband doesn't need to be a gardener. I'm not a gardener even myself. If your husband is not a handyman, give him grace. Okay, I'm getting to the spot. We're just talking about the expectations now. Maybe you expect your husband to let you know when he's going to come home. Just send you a message. Lovey, I'm late. I'm running late. I'm going to be home half an hour later than normal. Lots of fights in our relationship also about that. Now Andre is great. I know exactly. You know, if he's running late, he always messages me. But in the beginning, it was just a foreign concept for him. And I was waiting and I was waiting, and the waiting turns into worry, and the worry turns into, I'm really angry now because why don't you let me know? So maybe you expect your husband just to let you know when he's coming home. Maybe you expect him to be patient with you when it's that time of the month. I hope you're all patient with your wives when it's that time of the month. You all know what I'm talking about, eh? You look at me as if, what am I talking about? Maybe you expect your husband to pray for you. Maybe you expect him to think that you are the most beautiful woman in the world and to say it often. Maybe you expect him to love your family. Maybe you expect your wife to love your family. So I thought about all these things. I think there's millions of expectations. But I think sometimes it's not necessarily something that your partner or your friend expect of you. It's something you put on yourself. It's an expectation that we put on ourselves. And I just want to quickly, before I'm going to get to the unmet expectations that we have from somebody else, I just want to talk about the expectations we put on ourselves. I just want to give you 4 pointers. Yeah, that should be on the screen. Sorry about that. Just 4 pointers. I'm not going to go into much detail on that. Let go of being perfect. It's a hard one for all the perfectionists, a hard one for every one of us who is very hard on ourselves. You are allowed to make mistakes. I give you permission today. You are allowed to make mistakes. You can't be so hard on yourself and put so much pressure on yourself to be the perfect wife and the perfect mother and to be this career woman and to... It's just so tiring. It's so tiring. You have to give yourself grace in a relationship. You can't be everything for everyone. You can't. You must also look, I shared with a married ladies on Wednesday, we should also take care of ourselves. You can't be everything to everybody. Let go of being perfect. We have to communicate. You have to talk to your friend or your spouse. Do you really want me to have dinner ready at 6 o'clock every evening? Is it really an expectation, or is it my expectation of myself? Talk. Communicate. Find out. Enjoy your relationship. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. Enjoy your friendship. Sometimes there's so many expectations that it just takes the life out of your friendship, out of your marriage, where we're supposed to just enjoy one another, just have fun together, laugh more often, and allow God to change you if you need to change. We cannot change anybody else. We cannot change ourselves. Yes, we can take responsibility for certain actions and certain things. We can say we are sorry. We can say, please forgive me. You can try again, but let me tell you, you're going to be exhausted if you try to change yourself, if you try to work it up in yourself. That is why Jesus is there for us. I go to God all the time. I say, God, please help me with this. Please help me with this. I just can't get it right. Please help me. And He does. Allow God to change you. We're just focusing on you now. Allow God to bring the change in yourself that you really want to see. Okay, so take the pressure off yourself. Take the pressure off yourself. Let go of being perfect. Communicate with your partner. Enjoy your relationship and allow God to bring the change. Amen? Okay, so let's talk about how do we deal with the expectations that we have from a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse. First of all, I want to take you to a scripture in Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. You can make a note of that if you're taking notes. I'm just going to focus on verse 5 that says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. He shall not see when good comes. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. So let me explain to you what this means. The moment we find strength in a person, we find our strength, our fulfillment, our hope, our everything, we find it in a person. It can be a friend, or it can be a more serious relationship, like a dating relationship or a marriage. The moment you move your source from God to a person, like the scripture says, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. The moment we do that, we become cursed. We become cursed. Why? Because you will not see good when it comes. So even if your friend is doing basically everything right, that person is pleasing you with everything in his or her ability, it will never be enough for you. Because that person is your life. That person is your strength. He's your source. He's your everything. He's your lifeline. So you will not see good when it comes. It will just never be enough. So the first way of dealing with expectations is to make God our source. And I will say that many, many, many times still in my life, but I've seen that in my own marriage relationship. And I've been there. I've been there where Andre becomes way too important to me. Where if he doesn't say nice things about me and for me enough, or if he criticizes me, or if he's unhappy with me, my whole life falls apart. because I look to Him for my strength. I look to Him for my fulfillment. And yes, there is a portion and a part of us in a marriage relationship, we do look to our spouse in a certain way for that. But if every part of your being cries out for that person's affirmation and for that person's affection and approval, you will become cursed. You will feel cursed. You will actually be unhappy because that person is not created. It was never God's plan for a man or a woman to fill that space and to be your strength. So the scripture says, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So the moment our heart departs from God and our hearts go, it connects to another person wholeheartedly. So God is not in the picture anymore. We become cursed. All right. So what we must understand is that people will fail you. Your spouse will fail you. He or she will disappoint you. We have to make a peace with that. But God is the one who will never fail us. God is the one who is a stable, reliable factor in our lives, who will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is why that scripture continues to say, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. You'll be alive, you'll be well, it will go well with you if we put our trust and our hope in God. So that is the foundation of everything, all the rest that I'll share this morning. So let's just look at a friendship in the context of a healthy boundary. It's nice to have a best friend, but let me tell you, it could be very dangerous to have only one best friend. It could be very dangerous. Your life can depend on that person. And if that person is busy, or if that person gets a boyfriend, let me tell you, your world may fall apart. I mean, my sister and I were very close. And when she got her boyfriend, who is now her husband, it was difficult for me. It was as if I lost my best friend. It was extremely difficult for me because we were very close. We're still very close. It all sorted out, you know. But that first couple of months, I discovered very ugly thoughts in my heart towards a new boyfriend because I was ugly with him. I was somewhat, a little bit rude with him. It was completely against my character, but my sister was so special to me, and now this boyfriend is taking her away from me. I had to deal with that. And I realized through many other relationships that if we have this one best or close friend, it could be an unhealthy situation. It's awesome to have a best friend if you manage it well. So sometimes to have a few close friends could be a better option, just having this one friend that is your life. Because it could have it could lead to many, many, many disappointments. I had this one friend at varsity, very good friend of mine, a girl. For me, she was my best friend. To her, I was just one of many friends, I discovered. So whenever we would have an appointment, like say we're going to now do supper together. Then I go to a house and I find there's five other people. And I think, no, I thought we're having supper together. You know, we had a weekend organized. You know, I would visit them at their house and a parent's house for a weekend. And when I get there, there's like lots of people. Then I thought, no, my expectation was we're going to spend time. It's like my best friend, her expectation was the more the merrier. No, it was, we had a complete, our expectation was not the same. So we missed each other a few times. And I had to come to a point where I had to realize that I can't put this expectation on her that she is not able to meet. I can't. my expectation of her and her expectation of me was two total different things. And I had to deal with it because she was a very special friend of mine. I had another friend, also at varsity, who were living in the same hostel. She came to my room often. Often. And when I was at varsity, I had to study. Hey? I mean, if I didn't study, I would have never made it. I was like a study. What do you call those people? A slaper. You call in Afrikaans. We say, you sleep, so you nobody ever sees you, that kind of person. So my life was church and sleep. Sleep as in study. Church events and then study, and for the rest of the time, my social life wasn't very active. So she comes to my room often, and then all of a sudden, she comes to the conclusion that I never come to her room. Now she decided she's going to test my friendship. Now she decides to stay away from me for a week and see if I am even going to notice that. So she decided to test my friendship in a very bad week for me. It was like a test. I don't know. I was studying even more like usual. So, yeah, I didn't go to her room for a whole week. I didn't even notice that she's not coming to my room. Yeah, I was bad. I was very, very, I was studying a lot. That's all I can say. And now, then she spoke to Andre, who is now my husband. He was a common friend of both of us. So she spoke to Andre. She said, "You won't believe what happened." And now she explains the whole thing to Andre. Then Andre says to her, "Ach no, man, you must know Sonika." So Andre understood, just actually so amazing. He understood a part of me back then already. He said to her, "No, you know her. She's studying. No, don't take it personal." So he was trying to calm her down, but she was so upset about me. You know, it was the end of her world. I, for a whole week, didn't notice that she's not coming to my room, and I don't even come to her room. Maybe she was sick. Maybe she was dying. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I should have showed some care, and I should have. I was, as I say, I was sometimes very selfish at varsity because I just had so many things to study. It's the only excuse I have. But, I mean, even in that friendship, there was a communication gap. Or an expectation gap. And sometimes we just have to give our friends grace. And I'll come to that now. In terms of a dating relationship, don't live as if you married before you married. And I'm now not talking about moving in together. I'm just talking about don't spend all your time with that person. Don't cook every meal together. Just have boundaries. Otherwise, it can create a very unreal expectation for that friendship. When you're married, give each other space. Give each other space. Invest in your friendships with the same gender. And invest in time with other people. Otherwise, you could place a huge burden on your spouse to be that one and only, and you will have unmet expectations. So healthy boundaries is key. It's the foundation of everything. Second one, we have to put our expectation on God. So if there are expectations or desires, we have to put them on God. Let me take you to a scripture in Psalm 62. 62 verse 5 to 6. It says, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." I've many times in the past read the scripture and remind myself that I must put my expectation on God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." We all have expectations, but I have learned that if I put my expectations in God's hands, He shows me what to do with them. He shows me. And most often it's one of two things that God shows me. The one is, let it go Let it go. Trust me. Trust God. And trust, God will tell me, let it go and trust me for the outcome, for the when and the how this is going to happen. This is the difficult one. The other option God sometimes gives me is speak to your husband. But now I must choose the right time, okay? Not during a rugby game, girls, please. Not going to work. You have to get to know your friend or your spouse, and you have to trust the Lord for the right time and the right way of communicating your desire or your expectation. You have to find that one moment. And this is where you also need God's help. So this is a partnership with the Lord, where you have to either let it go and trust the Lord for the outcome, which means you don't talk about it except to God. Or you speak to your friend or to your spouse and you communicate your desire or your expectation. So, let me give you one example. A couple of years ago, many, many years actually, in the beginning of our married relationship, I communicated to my husband that I would really like him to bring me flowers more often. He shared that, I think, on Wednesday, at like a certain part of it. And I communicated that in the nicest way I could find. It didn't go well. It was a blow up, a disaster. It didn't work, okay? I was now communicating my heart to my husband. I thought it was just going to be a small thing, and it wasn't. Why? Because even though I communicated it as nicely as I could, it became an expectation, a burden on him. So he was reasoning, okay, how often does she want flowers now? How many flowers? And what kind of flowers? And what is now going to satisfy her? Because I came with this request, and it made him uncertain of how much does he need to perform now to make me happy? Okay, does it make sense to you? So I put an expectation on him that was difficult for him to meet. Maybe for some of you it will be easy. Maybe some of the men will just deal with it easy. I don't know. But for us, that was a difficult one. So then I said to God, okay, Lord, mess up. I don't know. It didn't work. So I didn't discuss it with God before the time, you see. I just did my own thing. So I decided I'm not going to ask for flowers again. This is now me and God. I give it to the Lord. So, these days I get flowers often. I don't know what's often for you is maybe once a week. For me, it's not once a week. Often is like, I don't know. I get surprised with flowers often. But I changed my strategy. Now listen, this is my strategy. Now this is profound. When I clicked this, it changed my life. I left it. I spoke to God. I said, okay, God, this flower thing is now between me and you. I give it to you, and then your part in the whole thing is as follows. When you then do get flowers, because they will come, not maybe as often as you want them to come, but they will come. Now they come, okay? Now you must make a big thing of those flowers. You must act if you have to, but the tears must flow. You must jump up and down. It must be the most amazing thing that's ever happened to you. Flowers. Oh, you must just go all the way. You can't have an attitude as follows. You can't do this. It's about time that you bring me flowers. You know, like, that's not going to work. You can't either go like, how many times do I have to tell you that I like white roses? What is this? Can't you even remember my favorite flowers? You know, now you're all sulking again. Your husband will be so demotivated. So you have to make a big thing. Okay? He must get the message. So it's now your thing. It's your thing with God. Okay? God helped you out. Your husband's now bringing you flowers. Now it's your part. You've got your part to play. He must get the message that you really appreciate this. Let me tell you, it works. It really does. I'm a bad actor. Okay, I can't really act. My husband sees right through me in any case. So the acting won't work for me. But if you're a good actor and you get your white, or you get your, I don't know, I'm not even a flower person, you know. I don't understand why I was so, hard on my husband about the flower thing. But if he brings you a bunch of flowers and you don't like it, or it makes you sneeze or whatever, just put it somewhere away from you. Don't say, it makes me sneeze. Why do you always bring me these flowers? It's not going to work. You're not going to get flowers often. You must make a big thing. You must appreciate whatever, you know, he brings you. It works. Let me tell you, it works. So we put our expectation on God. And when your expectation is met, you appreciate and you make your reward and you make a big thing of it. Let's talk about the last one. I'm almost done. What if our expectation does not get met? We have to give grace and we have to forgive quickly. Quickly, as quickly as you can. You have to give your friend the benefit of the doubt. You have to give your friend or your spouse the benefit of the doubt. You have to believe that he loves you, that she loves you, that she's good-willed towards you. Put yourself in their shoes. Get into their world. You know, every time without exception, when I am disappointed in my marriage relationship for some other reason, every time when I get into Andre's world, and I have an understanding of why he said that, or why he didn't say, or why he didn't do what I wanted him to do. When I get into his world, I immediately have more grace. Immediately. It's when I don't understand what's happening in his world that I get all upset. But when I get into his world, when I have an understanding of how he feels, and the kind of pressure or the whatever is going on in his head, I immediately have more grace. So if your husband forgets your anniversary, and let me tell you, men, it's not a good idea to forget your wife's anniversary, but I'm going to help you out here now, okay? If it ever happens, or if it has ever happened, it's not because he doesn't love you. If something like that happens in your relationship, your husband forgets your anniversary, it's not because he doesn't love you. It's probably because he's under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure. He might have had a hectic day. There will be a reason. There will be a reason. If you are the husband and your dinner isn't ready at 6 when you walk through the door, you know, and your wife is not all, you know, happy to see you and, you know, ready to welcome the king in the house, then don't feel that she doesn't respect you. She probably had to juggle, let me tell you, between kids and school and her own job, most probably, and being your wife and being everything to everybody, which we shouldn't be, but this is how we operate sometimes. Just give her grace. And if your wife is a mom at home, a full-time mom at home, let me tell you, that's the hardest job I've ever done in my life. So don't feel your wife is at home the whole day. Why can't she just even have this ready when you get home? Give her grace. I was on maternity leave for 6 months. I honestly thought, I don't know, I was not properly educated, I suppose, or I had this thing in me that it's going to be really nice being at home for 6 months with my baby. It was hectic. That's all I can say. It was hectic. I have so much respect. Whoever is sitting in this crowd, if you are at home, if you're a full-time mother, I have so much respect for you for doing that. And I tell you, we need even more grace if we are at home. We need even more grace. So let's give each other grace. Let's forgive quickly. Get into each other's worlds. get into your husband's world, get into your wife's world, I guarantee you, you will have more grace for an unmet expectation. You will have much more grace for a disappointment. Get into your friend's world. Get into a world. And make sure that you do not judge quickly, and that you do not get offended quickly. Let's deal with that long before it comes to an offense. Let's deal, let's extend grace, and let's give forgiveness. Amen? It really works. And if you feel that there are bigger things, that some of your expectations have turned into an offense, I really want to encourage you to join us specifically for the Bait of Satan life group. But imagine a world where the devil cannot destroy our relationships, because we deal with an unmet expectation long before it becomes an offense. We deal with it quickly. We forgive quickly. We give grace quickly. Imagine that, you know, having our hearts absolutely free from bitterness, from anger, from hatred, because by God's grace, He helps us to forgive. He helps us to give grace to the people we love the most. It's possible. It's really possible. And that's why we need to guard our hearts. We need to get that heavenly meds quickly for our hearts. And say, God, I need healing for my heart.